If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you again to talk about the Parsha, to talk about life, to talk about the issues that are important, to talk about, well, life, which is really important, talk about those elements of life that we often find somewhat confusing, somewhat disturbing, and sometimes we need tremendous insight in order to understand what in fact is happening, both in the world and within us. Because after all, we are very much part of the world, and the world is very much part of us. There is this unique symbiosis between the human and the world. God created this world in a magnificent sort of way, where each and every single individual has a role to play, a contribution to make. He has to do something of great importance, and therefore the relationship between the person and the world, the environment that he's in, the place that he's in, is quite unique. It's quite unique in the sense that the space depends upon the person, and the person depends upon the space. And the only way we can truly understand what in fact the person should be doing within the space that he or she finds himself in is through the wisdom of Torah. After all, as I often mention, Torah is the wisdom of God. God is creator of heaven and earth, creator of, well, everything, our bodies, our souls, and therefore he, in his infinite wisdom, knows what in fact is best, both for the person and for the space that he or she is in. And this is why we turn to Torah. We turn to Torah for guidance, for direction, in every sense of the word. We're still very much in the month of Elul. We celebrate Rosh Chodesh this past Wednesday, and, well, Tuesday and Wednesday, and we are, in fact, very much in the month, as mentioned last week, a month of tremendous opportunity. Opportunity in the sense that this month is laden with all sorts of powerful energies that enable us to do great things. To do great things in the sense that we are able to draw out those incredible gifts that we possess. There's an interesting sefer that was edited by the Rebbe, compiled by the Rebbe many years ago, called Hayom Yom. And one of the sayings that he chose is that the human being is like God's earth. God's earth is filled with untold treasures, minerals, water, all sorts of incredible things. But sometimes you have to dig and dig deeply in order to find those things. Similarly, a human being is filled with tremendous, tremendous potential, tremendous gifts. But sometimes you have to work very hard in order to draw them out, whether they be intellectual, emotional, whatever they might be. A person has tremendous, tremendous gifts that God planted within his being. The month of Elul, it's so much easier to somehow draw those gifts out from within ourselves. Sometimes they're very deep within ourselves, but the month of Elul, it's possible to draw them out with far greater ease, because this is a month that is infused with God's great blessing. As mentioned, the 13 levels of God's compassion and mercy. And this compassion and mercy is a gift that God says, I will give you that which you need in a far easier and far stronger sort of way. This is the month that it all happens. And because God created the world in a very ordered sort of way, all of creation is actually interconnected. And this is why the Hebrew letters are very much part of creation, very much part of time and space, very much part of all that happens. And therefore, each and every single month has a particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet that is very much connected with that particular month. And the Hebrew letter that is connected with the month of Elul is Yud, the tiny little letter. And one might think the Yud is, well, tiny and significant, but in actual fact, each and every letter in the Hebrew alphabet, in fact, each and every letter of any alphabet begins with a Yud, with a dot. It might appear to be insignificant in terms of size, but within its potential, it is the beginning of all construction, of all development. Each and every single letter begins with a yud. This is what El is all about. El is a time and space that possesses within it the ability to construct the most elaborate developments within ourselves, within the world. It's a time and space that we have to do, in a sense, comparatively small acts which blossom and grow because of the fertile infusion that God put into this month, the month of El, laden with mercy and compassion. It's a time of tremendous blessing. The Yud tells us that this month is a time that, with a simple act, with one gesture, we're able to develop tremendous levels of greatness. It's also a time that we have to consider, what is it that we really have to do during the month of Elul? Is it only to express and expose those inner gifts? There has to be a purpose in all of that. And the answer, of course, is that the month of Elul is a time that we are able to correct the shortcomings of the past year and prepare ourselves accordingly for the coming year. And this is why, interestingly enough, the word Elul has the same numerical value as the word Bina. And Bina means understanding, analysis, comprehension, looking at detail, looking at every single dimension of an idea, of anything, in fact. Bina means not looking at something from an objective distance and seeing the overall structure, but looking at something closely and understanding each and every particular dimension of what makes that idea, or in fact anything, what in fact is it made of in detail, comprehension, analysis, expanding, developing, looking at something from every point of view. This is what El is all about. El is a time that the Bina element, the analytical, the comprehensive, the expansion of the detail into tremendous, tremendous levels. This is what El is all about. And this is why, with relatively simple gestures, we are able to correct all the shortcomings of the past year. Imagine that. One month is able to correct the shortcomings of the past 11 months. One month prepares us so that we stand before God Almighty on the days of judgment, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the 10 days of repentance, and we stand with strength because we have used this month of opportunity in the proper manner, in the way that God wants us to use it, because this is a month that with one gesture we're able to address tremendous levels of detail within our lives, within the world that we live in. This is the power of Elul. The power of Elul is all-encompassing. The power of Elul takes in so many different dimensions, it leaves nothing out. The power of Elul is like Bina. And Bina has another meaning as well. The word Bina is made up of, in a sense, two words. Ben, child, Yud-Kei of God. We remember each and every one is a child of God. And God looks after his children with love, with compassion, with attention, with a tremendous sense of closeness. God gives us blessing this month. He gives us opportunity, as a father does to a child. This is the month of Elul. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
So we're talking about this whole idea of the month of Elul, which is laden with opportunity, laden with blessing, and with relatively simple, small acts, we are able to accomplish great things. But take a look at the Parsha, and to try and understand how the Parsha talks to us about this very same idea as well. The Parsha is Shoftim. And Shoftim, of course, opens up with the instruction from Moshe. God tells the Jewish people that in all your cities, at the gateways to the cities, you shall appoint judges and bailiffs in order to ensure that your societies are run according to the rule of law. Judges. And then the judges are told how they have to judge with honesty and with fairness, not to allow themselves to be bribed, not to allow themselves to show any bias, but to be fair and honest in their rulings. But as we take a look in the Parsha, interestingly enough, there are all sorts of other leaders that are discussed in this week's Parsha. We speak about, well, crowning a king. We speak about the qualifications of a Navi, of a prophet. We speak about the duties of a Kohen, of a priest who served in the temple. And the question is, all those are incredibly important and lofty positions within the nation of Israel. A king, of course, ruler of the entire nation, a prophet who speaks the word of God, a priest who ministers in the house of God, and of course the judge. Why is the Parsha called Shoftim? Why is the Parsha called Judges? Why don't we rather call it Melachim, kings, or Nevi'im, prophets, or Kohanim, priests? Why of all four important individuals Torah has chosen to call this Parsha Shoftim? And in actual fact, the Parsha begins with the word Shoftim, the word judges. And the answer is, rather simply, that the foundation of any society is it's a justice system. And if the justice system is strong, if the justice system is fair, if the justice system is applied to everyone, then that society will flourish. That society will function. And the interesting thing is, you can be a king, you can be a prophet, you can be a priest, indeed you can be a judge. The great equalizer is that you all have to follow the rule of law. You're all bound by the law. And in this instance, of course, we're talking about the law of Torah. The king is told how to behave, what he can do, what he cannot do. Similarly to the prophet, similarly to the Kohen, very important individuals, close to God. They are individuals that are imbued with tremendous levels of responsibility and prestige and status. But they can't do whatever they want. They are bound by the law. And when they step out of the structure of law, the judge has to rule. The judge has to decide what in fact their fate is. And this is why, of these four important levels of leadership, each one great in its own right, first and foremost is the judge. Because the judge is the one who has been entrusted with ensuring that the law is taken care of. The law is ruled on, the law is applied, and society functions. Take a look at any society where there is no rule of law. Take a look at a society where the king can do whatever he wants, or the prophet can prophesy or preach whatever he wants, or the priest can do whatever he wants. And there is no judge to ensure that those individuals are working within the structure of correct law. That society is chaotic. That society is destructive. That society will slowly deteriorate into absolute chaos. They will self-destruct. The one who has been entrusted with protecting the ongoing true stability of the society is the judge. And this is why the Parsha begins with the word Shoftim. And in every single city, at every single gateway, wherever there is uncertainty, wherever there is conflict, wherever there is any possibility of discord, the judge has to rule. Yes, of course, the king has tremendous, tremendous leadership responsibilities, as does the prophet, as does the priest. But the foundation upon which they can all do that which they have to do in the correct and positive way, the foundation is protected by the law, which is protected by the judge. And this is why when we think about the judge has to be an exceptionally courageous person. Courageous in the sense that he has to stand up to the power of the king, to the strength of the prophet, to the spirituality of the priest. The judge has to have the courage to ensure that no one steps outside the rule of law. And that takes tremendous strength and courage. Now, I mentioned earlier on that every single month has a unique letter of the Hebrew alphabet connected with it. And as we know, there are 12 tribes in the Jewish people, based on the 12 sons of Jacob. And each and every single month, there is a tribe, one of the sons, one of the tribes is connected with that month. And the tribe that is connected with the month of Elul is a tribe of Gad. Now, what was so special about the tribe of Gad? They were powerful, fearless warriors. When Jacob blessed his son Gad, he said, You shall be strong in the eyes of your enemy. And they were fearless soldiers when the Jewish people crossed the Jordan coming into Israel, although the tribe of God stayed on the other side of the Jordan. They led the armies in order to take possession of the Holy Land that God promised the Jewish people, because they were mighty, fearless warriors. And this is something which is so important to understand during the month of Elul as well. One has to be fearless. Fearless in the sense to have the courage to undertake actions within one's own life that take courage to do. There are a great many people who have good ideas and want to do good things, but somehow they don't have the courage to take that step. They're afraid. They're afraid of, well, leaving their comfortable environment. They're afraid of what, well, maybe their friends and neighbors might look at them critically. They're afraid that friends and neighbors and even family might scoff at them. And sometimes it takes courage, strength, to stand up and say, I'm going to do the right thing, regardless of what other people think. I'm going to do the right thing regardless of what I think. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing. And one has to be fearless. Fearless with tremendous courage, like the tribe of God. And this was the judge. Because during the month of Elul, one of the things that we have to do is to judge ourselves, which is not an easy thing. We don't like to be judged. And we don't even like to judge ourselves. We would rather, well, look the other way. As our sages say, Al kol pshaim techase ahava, on all our shortcomings, self-love kind of distorts our view. And to be objectively honest with ourselves takes tremendous courage. But this is what Elul is all about. Elul is a time of opportunity, but to take that opportunity, we have to have the courage to look at ourselves with honesty. Later in the parsha, we come across a tremendously interesting set of laws. Well, perhaps more than laws. the Jewish people have to go into battle, take possession of the land, other type of battles. And Moshe says, you're going to come often into the theater of war, and you'll see that your enemy, your opponent, is powerful and strong, horsemen, chariots, and you might become frightened. Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened because God is with you. And in actual fact, before the Jewish people went into war, there was the anointed priest who would inspire them and tell them, God is with you. The very same God who took you out of Egypt and showed you miracle upon miracle, who showed you great things, he will be with you in battle. And it's not only the classical battle. It's the battle within oneself. The ability to look at oneself and to battle against those negative elements that we possess, because that's the courage that we need in order to go forward. And unless we have that courage, we kind of stay where we are. And we never move. We never develop that potential. We never take the opportunity of the month of Elul to grow, to rise to higher levels. And this is why the parsha is called Shoftim, to be the judge, to be courageous. Yes, sometimes to stand in front of the king, and sometimes to challenge the prophet, and sometimes to look at the priest and say, no, you are not doing it correctly. You have to change your ways. The parsha has all sorts of wonderful descriptions of great Jewish leaders. But of course the foundation is the judge, and that takes courage. And like the soldier who goes into battle, that has to be encouraged to be fearless, to be strong, to have the faith that God is with him, the very same God who took him out of Egypt. A person has to have the inner faith within that inner battle in order to ensure that you confront those elements of life that need to be confronted, that need to be corrected. And you grow. But it takes courage. And the courage comes from a deep, inherent faith that we possess. We have it. It's within us. It's part and parcel of what makes us who we are. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about judges. We're talking about judges being the foundation of every society, the rule of law being the foundation of every society. And the judges have to be fair, they have to be honest, they have to be unbiased. They have to have the courage of standing up and telling the truth, and ruling according to the truth of law. And this is why, when we look around the world today, and we see where justice has gone in so many places, we shudder at the hypocrisy. We shudder at the deceit. When we see people, positions of power within the judicial system, abusing that power, international courts, which are filled with individuals that have personal agendas, ruling upon the lives of others, when in actual fact they themselves are guilty of, well, similar crimes. And this is why Torah comes and tells us to have the courage of truth, to have the courage to stand with truth at all times, regardless of how difficult it might be. And this is why, even though we are surrounded in the world today with deceit and with dishonesty, and so many of the judges simply don't have that courage, that honesty, that sense of absolute selfless dedication to the law, Torah tells us, Shoftim v'shotrim titen b'chol shiarech. We have to keep on dedicating ourselves to truth and to the truth of law, to the truth of Torah. We might be a minority. We might be, well, even less than a minority. But we will be the beacons of truth, of law, of goodness. And this is something that we have to understand as we take a look at the end of this parsha, when there is a murdered corpse that is found outside a city. And the elders come out, and they have to take responsibility by saying, "We didn't shed this blood." And one asks, "Have you shed this blood?" Of course they haven't shed this blood. But as leaders of the town closest to this murdered body, they have to take responsibility that something so terrible could have happened within their area. Did they teach the people properly? Did they educate the individuals? Was this individual taken care of? Who is he? What happened? We live in a world where people don't want to take responsibility. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. It's someone else. Taking responsibility, having the courage of taking responsibility, all of these things is what the month of Elul is all about. The month of Elul is a time that we take responsibility for life. You know, very often people say, "What do you want from me? This is the way I was born, with all these faults, with all these shortcomings, with all these weaknesses. This is who I am. This is the way I am." No. What Torah tells us during the month of Elul, take responsibility for who and what you are. And if in fact you see certain flaws, correct them. And it's a month where you can correct them so easily. As mentioned before, like the little yud, that is the beginning of each and every single letter, each and every single construction. Little gestures, little acts. You don't have to change the world. You don't have to move mountains. You have to do little acts. And those little acts blossom and they grow and they're nurtured by Hashem's blessing of mercy and compassion. And they ultimately do change the world. And they ultimately do begin to move mountains, and they make a huge difference. And this is why we're not afraid. We're not afraid of all the ugliness and deceit and dishonesty and the hypocrisy that exists in the world. Because we know that our acts of goodness and honesty and Torah values will permeate this world again and again and again. Because we have done it for thousands of years. And as we read in the Haftarah of this Shabbos, what does God say? What does the prophet say in the name of God? Anochi, Anochi, Humenachem. God says, it is I that brings you consolation. God says, it is I, the double Anochi, that has this incredible personal relationship with each and every one of us. And that gives us strength. That gives us the ability to be courageous, to be fearless, to stand up and do the right thing, regardless what others might say, what others might think, because we know we are doing the right thing. So as I say every week, when you're in shul tomorrow, and be in shul tomorrow, it's the right time to be in shul, a month of Elul. This is a time to take every single opportunity to grab it with both hands. And listen to the Parsha. Oh, this Parsha is filled with so many interesting things. You'll hear about the king, you'll hear about the prophet, you'll hear about the priest. You'll hear about the soldiers going into battle, those that are weak and those that are strong. And you'll hear about the words that the anointed priest will tell them. You'll hear about all sorts of laws of decency and goodness. You'll hear about taking responsibility. But listen carefully, because although each and every one of those elements will teach you volumes, listen carefully to what the Parsha is going to tell you, because you will find something that talks to you and talks to you personally and talks to you individually, and it will resonate. And during the month of Elul, you will hear it with incredible clarity, because during the month of Elul, our souls are tremendously attuned to what's happening, tremendously attuned to hear the words of Torah with incredible clarity. Perhaps other times of the year it takes great effort, but during the month of Elul it's so much easier. God gives us clarity, and he makes it easy for us to hear and to respond. So listen carefully. Listen carefully to the parsha. It's an incredible parsha. It begins with the appointment of judges, and remember what judges are. The symbol of correctness. And that should be the theme that runs through the entire parsha, and it does. But listen carefully for what the parsha is going to say to you. And when you hear it, rejoice, because you've heard something of tremendous value, and make it your own. Good Shabbos.